Blog Talk Radio
presents Applause Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for hanging out with us again tonight. And tonight we've got a great show, but before we go any further, I would like to say thank you again to John Barber, who joined me last night. And if you get a chance, check out for the 60th anniversary of JFK, John Barber's docu-presentation. It is John Barber's and William Shakespeare's Last Word on the murder of JFK. It's part three from part one and two. It's the last series of it, and it'll be in California and Encino. Go to johnbarbersworld.com, and you can get information there. So anyway, tonight, we again are doing the show from bed. And I feel like Joan Rivers again, doing an interview from bed. So tonight, I'm so excited to welcome our guest. We've been trying to make this happen, and it finally did. So welcome to the show. Without further ado, actor, musician, Keith Thibodeau. And Keith is probably most well-known as Little Ricky on I Love Lucy, but he's much more than that. So without again, further ado, Keith Thibodeau. Hi, Keith. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, God bless you. I hope you feel better.
As they say, the show must go on. As I was saying to you earlier before we got on live, that Sunday night I was finishing up a show and it hit me. And I just all of a sudden couldn't talk. I was choking and it was crazy. And then tested positive yesterday for COVID. It finally got me, Keith. It finally got me. After 3 years, I thought it was fake because I didn't get it.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope you get better soon, okay?
Me too. Let's not even talk about it. So, well, I am thrilled that you are carrying on the name of Lucy. And I believe, are you the last surviving member of I Love Lucy?
Yes, that would be... I see how people sometimes introduce me as the last surviving member.
I didn't really want to say it that way. I'm sorry. I just love that you're carrying on the name of the show, you know, because it, unfortunately no one else can. So, and it was such a great show. Now, when you auditioned and met her for the first time, did you know who she was? I mean, obviously it was a popular show at the time, but you were so young.
Yeah, I was very young. I didn't know anything much more than playing the drums at that age. I was a professional drummer playing with the Horse Height Band, big band.
Wow.
Around the nation in Canada. And so when the audition for the I Love Lucy show came up, my dad said, "Oh, you're getting this audition for a really, really big show." And that's really all I really knew that it was at the time.
But had you watched the show at home, no?
You know, I was so young, Joanne.
Right.
I really, it wasn't on my radar. It really, I don't think.
Right.
About.
Well, it did, definitely didn't hurt that you played the drums. I'm wondering if you didn't play the drums, if you would have gotten the part, you know, because obviously they wanted a musician to emulate Ricky. So now, I had Greg Oppenheimer on the other night, and he told me to tell you hello. And it was so funny when he was on and I was doing some research on him. I found a picture of him when he was little. He could have played Little Ricky too. You guys were identical. Isn't that crazy?
Well, probably multitudes of people that could play with Ricky, but for some reason I got the part because, you know, I looked like Desi at the time.
Yeah.
And I could play the drums so I could be a part of their musical acts.
Did it drive you crazy that they told you to change your name to Richard Keith?
That, you know, that kind of bugged me. I didn't like it, you know, but Desi felt that, you know, people could not pronounce Thibodeau correctly, and which they didn't at the time. And
right.
So my name became Richard Keith, yeah.
Now, how did Desi Sr. pronounce your last name? I'm curious. Can you imitate it or no?
He pronounced it right, I believe.
Oh.
But he would, you know. They all pronounced my name correct. They knew how to pronounce my name. And
very cool.
But, yeah. It was
nice.
I never was called Richard Keith on the show.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't call me Richard like backstage. They'd say, you know. But when I did do, later on, I did the Andy Griffith show. I played Ron Howard's best friend, Johnny Paul Jason.
Yep.
And on that show, curiously enough, the assistant director would always call, "All right, Ronnie, Richard, come on," you know, they call me Richard, you know. And that just was kind of peed me a little bit, but it was okay.
I know. Did you sometimes like, oh, are they talking to me? You know, who's Richard?
Yeah, exactly. So who is Richard, you know?
Right, cause especially you were so young. You were so young.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Now, your music career. Well, wait, before we go on to the music career, now, I believe I saw something that said that you found the Andy Griffith Show set to be a little more laid back than I Love Lucy. Why is that? Is that true that you said that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole cast was definitely more
just
laid
more
back
laid
than,
back.
Than, yeah.
Yeah.
And
wasn't live.
Yeah, it wasn't live like the I Love Lucy. And that was, you know, filmed in front of a live audience. So there was a different dynamic with the Andy Griffith Show. It was a one-camera shot show, as the Lucy Show was a three-camera, you know, format.
Yeah. And it's funny, growing up, me personally, and when we realized that you actually weren't little Desi, I used to always wonder, did he ever have animosity towards you? But that's not the case at all. You guys were, like, really close. I think you even taught him how to play the drums, no?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up together. You know, Lucy introduced me. One of the first things that, you know, she did when I was on the show was bring me to her home and introduce me to Desi Jr. and Lucy Jr., as they were called back then. And I became really good friends with them.
Yeah, are you still close with them or no?
I do talk to each of them in different ways, you know, different times. But we don't talk much. Obviously, I live in the South; they live on the West Coast. And but every time we talk, you know, if I'll give Des a call, you know, we'll talk for 2 hours. So it's that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess you were considered part of the family. I mean, literally. And Greg actually mentioned a party. He said, bring up the party with the clown. You want to share about that?
Yeah.
He said that you...
He must have been there. I think he was there. I think Greg was there, probably. And, you know, Lucy would always have these big, extravagant parties for the kids. And they would have clowns and rides in the backyard. You know, they lived in Beverly Hills with a big backyard and all that. And, you know, there would be like probably 50 kids, you know, come.
Yeah.
And they would all be interspersed. You know, some actors, children, some, you know, in the industry, you know, the movie industry, directors, kids, things like that.
Yeah. And you're doing now, you do the autographs shows with all the other kids, celebrities that I saw a recent picture. I'm friends with Lori Jacobson, and you guys all got together. What a great night that must have been, huh?
Oh, that was so fun. We did a fundraiser for a children's cancer charity that's called Rainbows for Kids in St. Louis. And they invited all, you know, they invited the Beeve, and they invited Eddie from the Munsters and Timmy from Lassie, John Provost.
Yeah.
And it was really a fun 2 days, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a great time. Oh, my goodness. I would love to have been there to just be a fly on the wall of you guys all getting together, you know. But, oh, God, what did I want to ask you? I wanted to ask you about, I'm sorry, Keith. I don't write questions down. I think I got COVID brain. I'm just having a conversation with you, you know. So,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Obviously, you were playing with the band at 3, the Horace Height Orchestra, and then you went on to David and the Giants. Was that the next band, or no, you had a lot of bands in between there?
Well, you know, actually, it's a lot of time. I mean, I've been playing since I was 2, so
yeah.
I was professional drummer playing with the Horace Height Band when I was like 4. And
right.
Then the Isle of Lucy show came up, and so I got that part, and then went on to, you know, I would play occasionally, and then after the Isle of Lucy show, Desi Jr. and I would play the drums with the orchestra there on her Here's Lucy. You know, remember that show, the later show she did.
Mm-hmm.
That was not, and we would open up the show with that, you know, with the live audience and sort of warm them up. And you know, Gary Morton, her then husband,
mm-hmm.
after Desi, would do a little stand-up comedy act every night with, you know, so it would be like this show before a show type of thing, you know.
Nice. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and then after that, you asked me about my drumming, but after that, Desi and I got a little Dixieland band together, and we played actually on the Dinah Shore show, and. It was great. It was a great piece, and we had a little singer.
I know.
And it was just.
And
yeah.
you went ahead of me because I was just going to say I'd love to play the Little Dixieland Band here real quick. I got a minute and a quarter. Let's reminisce.
All right.
This is Ricky Ricardo and his Dixieland Band, but it's actually Keith and Desi Jr. playing in the Dixieland Band. This was on I Love Lucy, and you were killing it. I loved your tongue hanging out. It was so cute. And you were trying like hell to keep that hat on throughout the whole performance. You could just tell.
That's right. That was really bugging me, that hat.
I could tell. It was driving you nuts. So let's listen to this real quick, folks. This is the Dixieland Band with Keith and Desi Arnaz Jr., the Dixieland Band, and it was on I Love Lucy.
Actually, Joanne, it wasn't Desi on that show. It was just me. That was the Isle of Lucy show.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. I'm thinking of the other one when you guys got together on Dinah Shore. You're right. It was Dinah Shore where the two of you played. He played conga, and you played the drums.
That's right.
Right, and this is just you with Lucy playing the ukulele on her knees,
yep.
if I remember correctly. And it was just a great episode. So let's listen to this real quick, folks, just to reminisce about Keith playing on I Love Lucy.
Ricky Ricardo Jr., on his Dixieland Band. Thank you.
What a great episode. And what I loved about that, too, not only were you adorable playing and Ricky Sr., Desi, Ricky Sr., Desi Sr., just really looked like he could have been your father. Just the proud look on his face and the happiness on his face was just really real. It was just real.
Yeah, he was there with me the whole time, and he was really, you know, he kept me on point and inspired me, you know. You know, really wanted to bring out my drumming, you know, so that was.
Yeah, well, you were already a professional drummer. Would you say that he kind of helped you with your skills on drums?
Yeah, well,
or your
musicality,
I should say.
Yeah, he inspired me, I guess is the word.
Yeah, it's more the word.
He was a great guy. He was very generous and very, very you know, very kind and very, very passionate. You know, both Lucy and Desi were both very passionate and very intense individuals.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is your fondest memory of Lucy and Desi working on the show?
Just their professionalism and the way they conducted themselves on set was very the whole show was a professional show with, you know, Fred and Ethel and, you know, the whole cast was and
yeah,
the crew was
just everything about it. I lost my train again. Oh, man. Oh, I hate when that happens. You said something and it made me think of something and now I forgot what the heck it was. Anyway, you've actually filled in, I think, for Desi Jr. a few times on some gigs. No.
Oh wait, yeah, you. I think you're talking about Dino, Desi, and Billy.
Yeah, yeah, the band. Yeah.
Yeah, he
but
had
you filled
you know,
in.
Desi and yeah, I filled in actually one time playing with Dino, Desi, and Billy at a party up in Truesdale Estates in L.A. I think it was. The guy who was the director for the Johnny Carson show. His name escapes me now, but he had a party and Desi couldn't make it because he had injured himself on a surfing board accident in Del Mar, and so he calls me up and says, "Hey, can you play for me? Can you sit in for me with Dino and Billy?" I said, "Sure, you know, whatever, you know." So I did a gig with him. Stood in for Desi.
Yeah. And now, are you still playing, Keith, or no? You're pretty much retired from the music industry.
I still play. You know, curiously enough, I'm like 72 now, but we still play. I play with David and the Giants, the band that I played for many, many years.
Yeah.
Classic rock band that became a Christian contemporary pop group. And we still play. We went to the Philippines in 2018 for a couple of weeks. We did a tour there. We go all over the U.S. still.
Cool. Now, I want to play that, too, if that's okay. I'd love to play one of the songs from David and the Giants. And it is, I got it here, I'm Still Rocking. Can I play that? Do you mind if I play that and share that with everybody?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I know. I know everybody talks to you about I Love Lucy when they interview, I'm sure, but I love the music aspect of your career because you're a great drummer, phenomenal. So this is I'm Still Rockin' by David and the Giants, and this is Keith on the drums.
When I gave a life to Jesus, they said I'm gonna give you free. They said I'm gonna give you free. Hey, it's been 60 years, and I'm still a rockin' for the rock.
That's some heavy drumming. I picture you with hair down past your shoulders playing that.
That's some rocking stuff, huh? Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a great anthem. For definitely a great I can't even speak tonight, Keith. I'm so sorry. That's a great anthem for playing live, for sure. Was Christian rock always your love or no?
Not until I became a Christian, a believer. In 1974,
mm-hmm.
And then so I went back to the band and told them about my experience, and I said, you know, told them that we needed to play some different kind of music, and at that point there wasn't anybody playing that kind of music in 1974, and then the band eventually became Christians in 77, and then we began as a Christian rock band in 1977, and I eventually ended up playing with them from 79 to 1989, you know, all the time. That's all I did was that, and then I left for a while, and then I joined my wife, and we started a dance company here in Mississippi, and
right.
And, but then we got back together as a band, and we did a reunion concert, and then we just kind of started up again, the original band. So we just did a Mayberry Days, you know, festival in Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Oh,
and,
nice.
We were there playing. So we play, and we still play, and we still rock for the rock, Jesus.
You're still rocking. Yep. Whoa.
That's right. That's right.
You're still rocking.
I think we're gonna get you in the band,
Joanne. Oh man, no, not with COVID. I can't do anything. Oh my goodness.
Would you feel better? We'll feel.
No,
better.
I would love it.
Band, right?
I would love it. The only time I'm happy is when I'm singing. But anyway, well, that's you know, I digress. But now, what
on.
Did I want to ask you? How did you wind up in Starbucks?
Well, that was another story. I left David in 1989.
Uh-huh.
And, well, actually, no, this is before they became, we became a Christian band. So this is, I keep going through these dates, but it was 1976. I married my wife, and I left in 77. And then I went to California with my wife, and I was going to start something with Desi Junior. I called him up, and at that point he was an actor and doing quite a bit of work. And I had some friends who were playing in Starbucks, and I played in a band with them before, and they were playing at Six Flags in Valencia. And at that point, they saw me, they got me tickets to come, and they said they were looking for another drummer. So they said, "Are you willing to move to Atlanta, Georgia?" So I did, and I rehearsed for a couple of weeks, and I got fired from that band, Starbucks.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I got fired, the first time I ever got fired. But, I, you know, I told my wife, who I just married, you know, I said, look, you know, God's got a reason for this. And you know, so we went back to Mississippi, and I started playing in jazz bands and different bands around here. And then finally David and them came and started playing Christian music, and they asked me to play with them. So I said, yeah, I mean, I didn't have to think twice about that. So in 1979, I joined them, and then we went from there. And that first summer, we went to England and played in Oxford, England. And
wow.
It was just amazing. Played for some punk rockers over there and baptized them in the River Thames. And it was just an amazing time.
And they loved it. They loved it.
Oh,
that's
they,
great.
They loved it. Yeah,
and that
awesome.
Stinks, man. They made you move to Atlanta and then fired you? What the heck?
Well, you know, I look at it for a reason. You know, there was a reason that, you know, they,
reason
were,
for
they
everything.
Weren't believers. Yeah, they weren't believers. I was a believer, and so it just wasn't the right fit. But I still in touch with one of the guys in the band. I actually knew two of them there in the band, but one passed away, and one is still living, and he's a great guy. He's a musician as well, Bob Gaucher. And it's just one of those kind of things, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
It happens
no,
to the best, you know?
Right. And then there's a reason for everything, right? So, as they say.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And now I found very ironic, which is, this is what I lost my train of thought on before, is that both you and Desi Jr. married dancers. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is like a Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, absolutely. That's insane.
Yeah, Desi's wife, Amy, was a really sweet lady. She passed away about several years ago.
Yeah.
And that affected Desi pretty much. But we somehow got in touch with them, and they said that they saw Kathy. She won a silver medal in a ballet competition. And Amy and Desi were watching it, and they both realized that was my wife. And Amy had roomed with my wife when they were 16 years old in New York City.
How crazy is that?
They were at the Joffrey Ballet Summer Dance Intensive, and they put them in the same room together. And then years later, Desi marries Amy, I marry Kathy, and it's like, how weird is that? They're both ballet dancers.
Exactly. I couldn't believe the irony in that. That's why I said I had to say something, and I couldn't think of what it was. Now, is the dance company still going, or are you still involved with that? Kathy? Oh, and happy birthday to Kathy, by the way. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. She just turned, I won't say what she turned. But
no, you better not. She'll kill you.
Yeah. The dance company is still going on. We're ramping up with our Christmas ballets now, but we started a ballet and company in school in Brazil in 2017, and we tour all over the United States with the U.S. company and in Europe, and we just got back from Israel in May, which is great to be there before all the war broke out. And it's a Christian ballet company, and we've been all over the world, from China to Singapore, and we're still very involved with the ballet, and directed and it founded it, really. So,
you the music director for it as well, or just running the show?
I'm the executive director, which I never thought I would do. I'm kind of on the business side of it, so I kind of see the operations on that, but Kathy is the artistic director, and so we, it's cool to be able to go all over the world and travel and see what we've seen, together as a married couple, yeah.
Very nice. So now you obviously said you're playing with the band still. You're doing the meet and greets for the I Love Lucy stuff. And where can people find out more about where they can find you online or what? Do you have a website or anything, Keith?
Yeah. Well, like the band, David and the Giants, when I do that, you can find that at David and the Giants fan book page on Facebook and all that, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They could go to davidhuff.com, and that's got the band schedule and all that. And then the ballet has a ballet website, balletmagnificat.com, and then we have a Facebook page and Instagram page and all that stuff. So
very nice. And
me through those ways.
And I guess there's a tour schedule up there, you said, right, on davidhuff.com?
There is wherever we're playing, they should post that, and we actually have a song that we just put out that was recorded in 2019. Our latest album is called What Are You Waiting For? They can find on iTunes, so you need to check that out.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I would have played it.
David and the Giants, What Are You Waiting For? Is the name of the album. And we have a song on there called Don't Mess With Israel that we recorded in 2019. And we put it out, and some stations are playing it and they're highlighting it. So it's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, it would be so appropriate right now. I can't believe I didn't know it. I would have played it tonight, how funny, well, I shouldn't say funny, again, the irony of you writing that song in 19 and look what's going on now, you know? Maybe yeah, you'll resurrect
exactly.
the song.
Well, and exactly, and, you know, like the dance company that we were with, we danced for the Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel to all, like, the Russian Holocaust survivors, these old
yeah.
people that have, you know, and that was amazing that we were there in May, and then this thing hits in October, you know, so.
Yeah.
We were actually supposed to be in Israel during the time that the war broke out, but it got canceled, so.
Can you believe that there's so many people that are being pro-Palestine on this? It's like, obviously, they don't know the history of what happened there. I mean, it's just crazy. But to me, I don't want to go into that. We're not talking about that. But I just can't believe the craziness that's going on where everybody's being more pro-Palestinian when whatever. We won't go there. But
yeah,
it's
true. You're right. There's you know, Israel is not a perfect nation, but they have a right to that nation. They have a right to that nation, and they have
right.
a right to their sovereignty. So.
Right. Well, I just don't think that people understand that, you know, Israel moved all the Jews out of Gaza Strip so that they could have Gaza Strip. And then within all that time, you had Hamas building up this thing, this terrorist group, to then do what they did now. So it's like, whatever. I get it. Everybody wants a ceasefire because civilians are being killed, but you got to blame Hamas for that because they're using them as shields. So it's sad. It is.
Can I say something about this?
Absolutely.
The one thing that people need to know is that in the Bible it says, you know, they who bless Israel will be blessed, and then they who curse Israel will be cursed. And so, funny. This is not funny, but it's curious that when George Bush moved the Palestinians into Gaza and told the Israelites the Jewish people from Israel to move out of Gaza, 2 weeks later, as he told the Jewish people to move out, and remember, all the Jews were moving out. They're moving synagogues out. They're moving their kibbutzes out. They had to leave. Well, 2 weeks later, what happens to the United States when George Bush said to do that? Katrina hits New Orleans. And New Orleans, everybody had to get out of New Orleans, if you remember that, Katrina.
Yes, it was horrible, yes.
And so whatever you do to Israel, you know, that's why I'm glad that America is at least, you know, supporting Israel right now. So.
Yeah, yeah. And no disrespect to the Palestinians who want to be Palestinians. You know, it's Hamas that's the problem. And the fact that, you know, nobody had a problem with the United States attacking Iraq after 9/11, when Iraq didn't even have anything to do with it. But yet here, people are thinking it's okay for these people to come in and just attack civilians having a party, whatever. We could talk about that another time, Keith. But, yeah, I'm pro-Israel. I am pro-anti-terrorism. So if you are a terrorist, take them out. And if you're going to use regular people as shields, well, I'm sorry, it's collateral damage, unfortunately. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But again, we could talk about that another time if you'd like. Not here. We're having a good time. We're talking about your music. So now, off the top of your head, anything upcoming with the band soon, or are you more doing the autograph shows right now?
I do autograph shows, but not. I don't do a lot of them. I just did one in Hollywood. I did a Chiller Theater, I think, in New Jersey, and those are all nice. I love to meet, you know, the people who love the show and want to meet me and want to get a picture with me and all that, and it's fun. But I don't do a lot of that stuff. But when I do it, I do enjoy it, you know.
Did you do Chiller this year?
Was it in May? I guess I did it in May, yeah.
Yeah, they do one in May and then one in, of course, October. And I missed October. I always missed the one in October. So, but if you were there, I would have smacked myself because I would have loved to have said hello. But now, if people wanted to see you at one of the shows, where can they find more information on you in particular instead of just the band, David and Giants?
Yeah. I've got an Instagram page. It's called Little Ricky Drums, I guess is what the name of it is. And you can go there. You go to my Facebook page as well. I have a Facebook page, Keith Thibodeau. You can find me on those two things. I usually say what's going on with me and what's up and all that. So.
Yeah. And again, it seems like you are more involved in the music right now. And when you do these autograph shows, I can't thank you enough. And I'm sure all I Love Lucy fans and Lucy fans, thank you very much for doing that because you are carrying on the name and just the whole nostalgia of it. And it's appreciated, Keith. And thank you again. I feel like you're more into right now, obviously, the music and the dance clubs, the dance club. Oh, God, the dance troupe.
Company.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I got COVID brain. I can't speak.
Bless your heart.
Pardon me. Well, I want to play one more thing. I want to play your drum solo that I found you because you are such a fantastic drummer. I want to share this with everybody, too. This is Keith just banging it away. Oh, enjoy. He's really a great drummer. My goodness. Phenomenal. Oh my God. I gotta ask, was the Hawaii 5-0 theme one of your big things playing the drums?
No.
Really? Because that one, as soon as it kicks in.
Yeah. You know what? I actually played this past weekend. We did that. I did a fundraiser with all the guys, you know, from Beaver and all the guys. They asked me to play Wipeout, so I got up with the band and played Wipeout. That was fun.
Oh, wow. How cool. How cool is that? Oh, man. So I just don't even know what more to say other than thank you so very much for hanging out with me tonight. It was a pleasure. And my goodness, please come back anytime, Keith. I really wish I knew about the Israel song. What is it called again? I'm going to check it out.
Don't Mess with Israel. It's the last song on the What Are You Waiting For album by David and the Giants.
Yeah, go check it out, guys. Go to davidhuff.com. And I guess we can buy music there and also anywhere on where you can buy music online, right?
Yeah, iTunes would have it.
Yep, and ballet magnifica.com where you can find out more about the dance company and where they'll be performing and just great stuff, Keith. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you,
Joe. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check out Don't Mess with Israel and maybe we'll play it next week or something because it's just apropos.
Please,
it's apropos. We got to get it out there. Are you kidding? Everybody needs to hear it.
I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it.
Oh, I think I will, too. Just the title alone.
Like
the title alone just speaks volumes to me, and And it should be, speaking of anthems again, it should be an anthem for what's going on, especially, I mean, do you know when it came out, if it was a hit over there or no?
No, well, it's a Christian, you know, we're a Christian man. So, you know, in Israel, they're not gonna just, you know, embrace Christianity as such. You know, they let Christian tourists go in there and all that kind of stuff, but they don't. But anyway, I'm hoping that it gets out and that people listen to it and that people listen to the words. The words are very important.
Right. That's what I want to hear. I mean, I think Christian or not, I think they would enjoy hearing it. I can't wait to hear it because I know, based on the title, that if I was in Israel and lived in Israel, this would be an anthem for me, especially with what's going on. My day job, I have some counterparts, colleagues that are working in Israel, and when everything went crazy, I was so concerned about them, and thank God they're okay. So, but hey, and if they got a problem with the Christianity thing, change the band name, put it under another band name or something to disassociate from the Christian rock so that they really embrace it. I don't know. I'm just a thought. I'm just thinking aloud.
David and the Giants is a very Old Testament name.
Right, I know. Yeah, I know. I get it. David and Goliath, right. David and the Giants, I get it, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well,
right.
Keith, thank you so very much. And I can't thank you again for spending the time with me and taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you got a lot going on. And please get some rest because you're going to be out there on the road again soon, right? So.
Yeah, God bless you. I'm actually being inducted into the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame Thursday.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
The Louisiana Music Hall of Fame is doing a big homecoming concert with a bunch of different artists from Louisiana, and they're doing the inductees for that night. So that's going to be
how cool is that? Your whole old hometown, home state, and, you know, and then being, honored. How cool is that? Congratulations, Keith. Well deserved. Absolutely. That's going to be a blast. Oh, have a great time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Well, Keith, thank you so much. Folks, again, go to davidhuff.com to get more info on the band, David and the Giants, where they'll be playing, where you can get music there, or also go to Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your music, wherever you stream your music, you can get it. And go to balletmagnifica.com, too, to find out when the dance company will be doing some shows. And are they doing Nutcracker by any chance? Everybody does Nutcracker.
Well, we're doing not Nutcracker, but we're doing a ballet called Most Incredible Christmas.
Oh,
so,
nice.
It's a very kind of a Radio City Music Hall, you know, traditional Christmas.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Nice production.
Beautiful.
Sure.
Beautiful,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas
you.
To you. Happy holidays. And I can't wait to hear Don't Mess With Israel. Guys, go check it out. Don't Mess With Israel. We're going to play it. Can't play it tomorrow because I got another musician on. But I will definitely play it Sunday when I close out the show. And
cool.
But Keith, again, thank you. So what a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir. You were too kind.
Well, God bless you, Joanne. Appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you even more. Everybody, Keith Thibodeau. Thank you, Keith. Keith, listen to, I am a mess. Keith, thank you, Keith. Have a good night. Oh, I got to go back. I was going to say I got to go back to bed, but I'm already in bed. I just need to close my eyes. Oh, my goodness.
They say the
show must go on, Keith.
That's right. That's right. God bless.
Yeah.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you so much, hon. Listen, it was great talking to you. Again, everybody, Keith Thibodeau. Thank you, Keith. I did it again. Thank you, Keith.
Yes.
Keith,
bye,
have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you. Take
All
care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if there's something wrong with my ears, but I cannot hear. And I don't know. Was the music loud enough for you guys? I'm having a tough time hearing him also. And I'm tongue-tied. Again, I finally got it. I finally got COVID, and it hit me. I wasn't feeling well all weekend, and Sunday was crappy, no pun intended. And then I wasn't feeling well Sunday night. And then Monday morning I woke up and I felt like I was hit by a truck, but I couldn't talk or anything. But yeah, Sunday night when we were logging off, signing off on the show with Bill Pascali, I was trying to talk and I couldn't even, it was like, you know, it's like I couldn't breathe to talk at the same time. So you heard somebody getting COVID live on the air, succumbing to COVID. But Keith, amazing, and I Love Lucy. I was like 3 years old playing the drums like that. I mean, 3 year old professional drummer. I mean, just amazing. Could you imagine seeing a 3 year old drummer nowadays? He'd be all over YouTube blowing it up. But back then, obviously, we didn't have the online and all that. So, but just a great, great person. He was a great actor for his age, too. I mean, my goodness. And again, check out David and the Goliaths. David and the Giants. Go to David.com, BalletMagnifica.com. He's also on Facebook, Instagram. Little Ricky on Instagram, Little Ricky Drums, I think it was, and go and check out Don't Mess with Israel. It's on his new album, so that's, I can't wait to check that out after the show. But tomorrow, please, please, please join me tomorrow night for Albert Bouchard, the original drummer and founder of Blue Oyster Cult. We're going to ask him about the cowbell. Oh, my God, if it drives him crazy about how that Saturday Night Live sketch just like blew up the cowbell. So I'm dying to ask him about it, but he's also in the Taters and we're going to talk about that. And then we'll see you guys back on Sunday with Michelle for your free psychic readings. I know you guys enjoy that. So we always try to have her on. So I have to call it a night, folks. I'm getting weak, but I wanted to play this with Keith, but I said, no, I better wait because since he got fired, let's not play it. So we're going to close with it. And it's Moonlight Feels Right by Starbuck. And Keith played with them as well. It's a 70s hit. And you can tell when you listen to it that it's 70s. So, again, Keith Thibodeau, go to david.com to find out more about David and the Giants, their music, when they're touring. And also balletmagnifica.com for the dance company that Keith and his wife Kathy are running, own, and operate. And she's a dancer herself. So that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Keith. So everybody, have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow with Albert Bouchard, founder and drummer of Blue Oyster Cult. So we'll be playing a couple of tunes tomorrow, too. So have a great night, and thank you so much. And hopefully we're feeling better tomorrow and we don't have to work from bed. All right. Have a good night. Bye.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. Caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top of Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like the sky to dose a potion. The moon will send you on your way. Feels right. Moonlight feels right. We'll lay back and observe the constellations and watch the moon smile and bright. I'll play the radio on Southern stations, 'cause Southern bells are hell at night. You say you came to Baltimore. Right. up on Sunday morning and watch it fade the moon away. I guess you know I'm giving